A new report is warning federal managers that pay freezes and potential furloughs could have top talent leaving the federal workforce. That study was done by the Partnership for Public Service and Booz Allen Hamilton. It says agencies need to ramp up recruitment and retention efforts. Ron Sanders is a senior executive advisor for Booz Allen Hamilton. He's also the former chief human capital officer at the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, and he joins us to talk about the report. Mr. Sanders, always great to have you on.
Morning. How are you doing today?
Okay. So give us the top line here. What was the chief finding of this report that you have prepared?
All right. So here's the headline. Even though attrition rates are low, even though the labor market is slack and it's essentially a buyer's market, the fact is your key employees are always at an attrition risk. The best and brightest can vote with their feet, and we need to pay attention to that. And in this particular day and age, when we've got things like hiring and pay freezes, every vacancy becomes problematic. Managers may not be able to backfill. So every stay, every save, quote-unquote, becomes vitally important to an agency that's trying to maintain staffing levels and accomplish its mission.
That goes against conventional wisdom, though. As you mentioned, even though attrition rates are low, key people could, like you say, move on. What gives you that indication?
Well, it's almost an axiom in the human resources business that your very best employees, those that are the highest performers, those that are in the most critical skill sets, are the most marketable. And in many respects, the labor market is extremely inelastic for skills like science, engineering, mathematics, computer sciences, computer skills, etc. There's always demand for those. Cybersecurity is a great example. Every agency and every company needs cybersecurity skills. That demand is going to be high, and the labor market is going to be competitive no matter what the rest of the economy is doing. So you've got to look at the folks in those jobs if you're an HR director at a federal agency and worry about losing them, again, especially if you may not be able to backfill in a time when hiring freezes are either in place or looming.
And we're going to get to some of those things that managers can do. But first, I wanted to ask this. This is a big report. It seems to bear out what we already knew, as you mentioned, intuitively, that the best people are always ripe for the taking or leaving. So what was your methodology to conduct the survey such that you could prove what we thought we knew already?
All right, so this is a two-part report. We released a report on federal attrition last December. And frankly, the findings were so interesting that we decided we needed two reports, one on attrition, which is why people leave, and then one on retention, that is why people stay, because I think contrary to conventional wisdom, the reasons people leave are not necessarily the same reasons that people stay. And we did a couple of things. Of course, we did a lot of statistical review of the OPM Central Personnel Data File to look at attrition trends, et cetera. And we also conducted a whole bunch of focus groups with employees, in particular federal managers and HR directors, who can give some life to the statistics with real live experience.
We're talking with Ron Sanders, a senior executive advisor for Booz Allen Hamilton. What is it managers can do? What are the recommendations you have to ensure that this attrition rate doesn't get any worse?
I think you've put your focus in the right place, because in many cases, in fact, in my view, most cases, the go or stay decision is a very individualized one. And while an individual manager may not be able to have much impact on pay and staffing levels and the promotion prospects of his or her employees, I think that manager can have a tremendous impact on the intangibles at work. And in my experience, those intangibles are probably the most important aspect of the, quote, stay decision. If the employee has a connection to the agency mission, if they have a connection to his or her coworkers, if there's a great relationship with the boss, those kinds of intangibles trump whatever else may be going on in the agency or in government at large, things like pay freezes and hiring freezes. It's the more immediate, you know, all politics are local. Well, I think all go or stay decisions tend to be local as well. And that's where I think the individual manager, frankly, has the most leverage. They are the ones that determine that relationship between employee and supervisor, between employee and coworkers. They're the ones that can give that connection to the agency's mission life. And I think that's what that's an advantage that federal agencies have, particularly when dollars are tight. It's not going to be a dollar-for-dollar competition in the labor market, especially at the margin for those most critical skills. It's going to have to be a competition over the intangibles.
To me, what you're implying is that the managers, the people worried about other people leaving, really have to engage on a very close communications program to take the, I guess, psychic temperature of the people they're worried about leaving.
I think that's exactly right. That's where that connection is established, and it's where it's sustained. And frankly, they are the ones that have the pulse of their individual work units. To be sure, you can take surveys, and the employee viewpoint survey that the OPM conducts is a very powerful tool in that regard. But at the end of the day, while you have aggregate statistics, it still comes down to the individual manager and the individual employee making that go or stay decision. And I think they look at the employee who's contemplating departure, looks at those relationships as one of the critical, if not the predominant factor in the retention decision.
Now, you were a chief human capital officer. Did you ever see circumstances where, as part of that process of making sure the best people stay, that you felt, well, maybe there's a couple of idiots we should get rid of so that the good people feel better? Can it go that far?
Well, oh, sure it can. And I think, again, not to put too much burden on the poor manager's shoulders, it's how they lead and how they manage that makes a difference. How they recognize and reward their top performers, how they hold employees who are not cutting it accountable for performance. And I think that sends a message. You know, look, you can argue all day about whether the tool set available to federal managers to both reward and penalize is sufficient. But at the end of the day, a manager has control of sort of the ethos of his or her organization, the culture. It's a microculture, but if they're rewarding top performers, even if it's just with attaboys, and if they're holding poor performers accountable, even if it's just riding them hard and making sure that they're actually carrying their share of the load, that sends a message. That's part of that intangible equation that that I've been talking about.
So then, with this report, is there a sense of urgency that agencies need to act immediately? Are we talking about the discovery of a polyp or discovery of a cancer?
That's a great metaphor. I need to think about that a moment. Look, I think the sky is not falling. The report's not intended to suggest that. But it is intended, I think, to raise the level of awareness here, because as we discussed just a couple of weeks ago with the attrition report, it's easy to get lulled to sleep. Attrition rates are low. Unemployment is high. There's really no danger that employees are going to leave en masse. Tom, I think you referred earlier to the number of seniors who are eligible for retirement, but the much talked about retirement tsunami hasn't occurred, again, in part because of the economy. I worry more, and I think agencies should be worrying more, at the margins, those high-performing employees that make a difference in any organization, those employees in those most critical skill sets that are always going to be competitive, where we're in a war for talent, and retention there, I think, is absolutely critical. And when the intangibles are the difference, those are long lead time kinds of investments. The investment in developing your supervisors, helping them enhance their leadership skills. Those may not pay immediate dividends, but at the end of the day, they may make the difference between a top employee's decision to go or stay.
And so if, as you say, the money is not the primary motivation for people staying or leaving, then in many ways the pay freeze is almost besides the issue, but maybe more of a good excuse to, or a good catalyst to make you examine the things that, as a manager, you should always be looking at anyway.
Look, as we talk about in the retention report, it's a holistic approach. We've offered up a four-quadrant model of the work environment, and certainly tangible things like pay and benefits go into the equation. So I don't want to suggest that they're unimportant. That's what may get an employee thinking about leaving. You know, the grass is always greener. But they can be balanced by the intangibles. So I think the message here is more, don't give up hope. The fact that we're talking about pay freezes still doesn't change the fact that employees will still get step increases and there'll still be promotion prospects. But for the critical employee, the one who's looking at greener pastures, the tangible part of the equation, I may get paid more elsewhere, can be balanced and, in my humble opinion, potentially can be trumped by the intangibles, the connection with coworkers, the connection with boss, the connection with mission. And if you just look at the agencies that are on the best places to work list, those are the ones that have established that connection.